are back with more of Lake Effect Weekend. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Between 1955 and 1976, nearly 30 of the United States' top clothing designers created garments to fit disabled bodies. It was called functional fashions, and it remains the largest collaborative effort to design clothing by, with, and for disabled persons in American history.
From high-end sportswear to everyday labels, designer Helen Cookman led the charge. Cookman co-authored Functional Fashions for the Physically Handicapped, and she developed a sample collection along with the then New York Times style editor, Virginia Pope.
In this edition of Radio Chipstone, Natalie Wright of the Chipstone Foundation tells contributor Jennifer Fields to pay close attention to the language used to talk about disabled bodies. The first garment in the exhibit also serves to broaden the definition of functional.
Bonnie Cashin designed this piece in 1957. It was first published in Harper's Bazaar in 1957. Bonnie Cashin is really one of the pioneers of American sportswear design. And it's this really spectacular orange and purple mohair with hints of green. And what makes it really special is that it has the kind of classic Bonnie Cashin hardware on it, where she's put these clips along the waistband of the skirt that allows the user to very quickly hitch up the front of the skirt and attach sort of the middle of the skirt up to the waistband. So she really designed this for a very specific purpose, which was to allow herself and other women to walk upstairs with items occupying their hands, so they wouldn't have to set items down and lift up their skirt as they're walking upstairs. So Bonnie Cashin was really interested in creating high style designs that would also be unrestrictive for the modern mobile woman. It's really an amazing design that holds up, like all of Bonnie Cashin's pieces, at any point in time.
I'm glad that this is a piece we started off with, because it forces me, it invites me to broaden my consideration of what it means to be a piece of fashion that is also functional.
Yeah, and basically this item was republished by Functional Fashions in the early 1960s, around 1963, as a really sophisticated design for women with limited mobility. This item really helps us to tell the story of the items that were a part of the Functional Fashions line that weren't necessarily designed for disabled bodies, but that Helen Cookman and other people who were helping to run the Functional Fashions line saw as really great solutions anyways, even though they may not have been designed expressly for that purpose.
But this is one that I would call a Mary Tyler Moore dress. It's very much like Mary Tyler Moore going to work with her little hat on.
Exactly. And so with the Bonnie Cashin piece, this sort of designed, in the 50s, the piece that we're looking at right now is designed by Vera Maxwell in the 70s, right around the time that Helen Cookman and other folks who are running the Functional Fashions line pass away. So it's sort of the end of the Functional Fashions line. And Vera Maxwell, again, was really interested in mobility and speed. And this is actually, this item is actually called a speed suit. And what's really interesting is that Vera Maxwell says it's perfect for the woman who wants to dress quickly or, quote unquote, anyone whose fingers are crippled with arthritis. This dress doesn't have any fastenings on it at all. It's designed with a knit lycra. You can slip it on over your head and take it off, so there are no buttons or anything like that.
But it also has those elegant points to it. You would never know if you were just looking at this dress. It looks like two pieces until you get close and you realize that it's one. Everything is constructed together.
Mm-hmm. And you'll find also that a lot of these items have pockets. Both the Bonnie Cashin piece and the Vera Maxwell piece have pockets, which even is something that's celebrated in women's wear today. There was a lot of emphasis on utility and functionality for women's bodies and mobility in general that coincided with this movement for disability design.
And I was also, Natalie, really surprised to find that even Levi's was in the functional fashion game for a while.
Yeah, there were nearly 30 designers who were creating clothing with and for disabled bodies. So it's the largest collaborative effort to create clothing for disabled persons in American history. And it really hasn't been recognized as much in the historical record. And we're so lucky to have this piece, the Levi's Letter publication from 1975, loaned to us from the Levi Strauss & Co. archives. It's this fantastic piece that shows how Helen Cookman's patented trousers for a handicapped person, this patented design from 1960, is then adapted for Levi's jeans in 1975. So it has her design solutions, which are zippers that go down the sides of each leg, and then also a belt that allows either the front or the back of the jeans to drop down for ease of movement and getting the pants on and off, using the bathroom, any of our daily activities that we do with jeans to help users with disabilities.
Natalie, what were the series of events that caused people to understand the need for a functional fashions line?
One of the introductory pieces in this functional fashions display is an Eames splint. This item was really created to help stabilize and transport wounded soldiers in World War II. And what we find is that this individual named Dr. Howard Rusk is working with wounded soldiers who would have been using something like the Eames splint to recover from their injuries. And he's really one of the founders of rehabilitation. And so after World War II, he goes to the Institute of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation at New York University. And he's really trying to work with not only soldiers, but then civilians in the United States on this field of rehabilitation. And so then he brings in the designer Helen Cookman to think through clothing solutions for disabled users. And what's so interesting about this moment in time is that this is happening alongside other types of design, so home design, as well as lots of other items. So another book that we have on display, which was written by Dr. Howard Rusk and Eugene Taylor, it shows a lot of the other design solutions that were being created at the Institute of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation, which were often kind of pioneered by patients at the Institute. So there was a lot of motivation within this time of kind of a do-it-yourself mentality, where part of the therapies that they were putting forward for patients there was to encourage them to find solutions to barriers that they were finding in a non-disabled built environment, essentially.
So now what is this? This book reminds me of, how can I say that? It's that really clear, almost, not Better Homes and Gardens, it is Better Homes and Gardens, 1950-something. This is how you should keep your house clean, and this is what you should do, and this is the hat you should wear with this dress. So Natalie, walk me through this piece.
So this is a book that Helen Cookman wrote with occupational therapist Muriel Zimmerman during her 5 years at the Institute of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation. And it is called Functional Fashions for the Physically Handicapped. It was published in 1961. And one of my favorite things about it is really the length of it. We have the actual book on display, but also a digitized version of it. And what we're really hoping for is that visitors will flip through and see just how dense it is and the extent to which they thought through every single aspect of the designs that they were creating for disabled users, both aesthetically. That was a sort of a base point, that the designs had to be beautiful. And the way that they go through and discuss all of the design solutions and why they worked for different users is so compelling. And what's so striking about it too, at the end of the publication, they speak about fabric choices and textile science and the length that they're going through to really think through all of the different reasons for their choices is really outstanding. Like, just even thinking through that, if there's a fire, for example, then somebody with a disability is not able to get out of a building as quickly. So making sure that the fabric that they choose is not flammable, for example. I mean, it's really extraordinary. And at the end, too, you see lots of sort of summary of their findings and all of the studies that they've done on issues or problems that individuals with disabilities had with their clothing, really calling attention to the fact that oftentimes the built environment is what's causing a disability, as opposed to the problems being the person's body and their differences. It's really that clothing in and of itself, if it's not functional for that person's body, the clothing is the problem, as opposed to the person.
Material culture contributor Jennifer Fields curates the Radio Chipstone series. That project is funded by the Chipstone Foundation, a decorative arts foundation whose mission is preserving and interpreting their collection, as well as stimulating research and education in the decorative arts.
This week, Jennifer spoke with Natalie Wright, a curatorial fellow at the Chipstone Foundation. Functional Fashions is on display at the Milwaukee Art Museum through the spring of 2020. And there's more information at WUWM.com.